Philippians chapter 1 this morning. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Father, that would be our prayer this morning, to proclaim the gospel without fear, to do it in an effective manner, to do it in such a way that we become harvesters, that we bear great fruit unto Christ our Lord. Help us to polish our game even as we consider the things that Paul is teaching today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me. Well, what had happened to Paul? Well, he'd been arrested. He'd been moved from one prison to the next, all the way from Jerusalem to Rome. In the interim, he had suffered a shipwreck and spent a winter on an island. And now he's sitting in a prison awaiting his trial. One can hardly think of a more traumatic or discouraging set of circumstances. Hey, have you heard the latest on Paul? No, what's up with Paul? Well, he was a center of a riot in Jerusalem. The crowd beat him pretty good. He was rescued by a centurion and then put in chains. And he's been in jail ever since. How nice. No missionary I know could ever dream up a scenario like that. Well, I'm going to be a missionary to whatever country, and here's how we're going to do it. First of all, I'm going to be in a plane crash, and then I'm going to be arrested and thrown into jail. Wow, great ministry plan. You had to go to school for that? Yeah, well, you know, these things don't come easy. And here is his list of things. Any missionary I know gets themselves an education. They have to prove to the government to which they're moving that they're going to do some good for the community. Maybe build a nice community center or an orphanage and come from a stance of strength, a stance of wealth, if you will. I'm going to do you some good. You don't drag prisoners in expecting them to change the nation or to help everybody in the locale. We work from a platform of dignity, honor, of blessing. It would be easy for people who followed Paul's ministry to ask, what happened? When did God change his ways toward Paul? When did God let Paul down? Doesn't God honor the man's prayers anymore? I mean, what saint sits for 2 years in prison? What saint is falsely accused and is maligned and is in the middle of a riot and all these kinds of things? What is happening? What's the latest? Well, he's still sitting in the prison. And his chains were literal iron chains. They chafed. They made his skin turn green. They were heavy. They were cumbersome. They were difficult. On a good day, he was chained to a pleasant guard. On a bad day, there he was in court trying to defend himself against all charges. His experiences in the last couple years of his life were a whole lifetime of hurt, a whole lifetime of difficulty. Wouldn't it be nice if life just got sweeter with time? If it all got easier? You know, they call them the golden years. Who invited the 50-year-olds to the senior day? Might as well invite teenagers, the kids. Well, I guess if the kids are going to come, they can be helpful to us then, to us older folk. But you would think that there should be something about life that gets easier with time. But how many know that every season has its own challenges? And some things you never thought you would be dealing with, here they are on your doorstep. Well, believers don't have to go through that. We just have to trust in the Lord and everything's going to be fine, right? Well, here is this saint of God becoming ever more saintly, getting wiser with every step, more valuable to the kingdom of God, and they put him in lockup for the last couple of years. Somebody might rightly walk before the Lord and say, God, what are you thinking? This is the guy we need out on the streets. Everywhere he's gone, he's built churches. How's he going to build an assembly of God while he's sitting in a prison cell? And God just winks and smiles and says, don't you trust me? Haven't you learned by now? The man upstairs knows what he's doing. Step back and watch what God can do. It's one thing to suffer, but to suffer when there doesn't seem to be a reason for it, that's the worst, isn't it? I can understand that this pain will last for a little while because I'm in recovery, or this is difficult, you know, you got to go earn a degree or what have you, but then it's going to pay off in the long run. But when you're just suffering and you can't figure out how does this fit into the plan, I should be doing this and I want to be doing that, and I'd be more, so much more effective if I could only. But sometimes the Lord just slows us down, puts us on hold, or it seems like we're on hold for a while. And we have to wonder, what in the world is God up to? And many might have been sad for Paul, but Paul was not sad for Paul. When he writes to the Philippians, he says, this is actually served to advance the gospel. This is good. What? Oh, yeah. Yeah, for one thing, the whole Roman guard knows that I'm in prison for Christ's sake. Well, how does that help? That sounds like a negative to me. Trust in Jesus, go to jail. Oh, I'm in. No, no. But what did it do? Well, it would beg the question. Why is that guy in jail? Well, because of his faith. What's his faith? Well, he believes in a God. He believes in one God. There's only one God, the creator of heaven and earth. And that this God came down to give his life as a ransom for us, died a cruel death on the cross, after 3 days rose from the dead. And he teaches that only belief in that God will save you. Only people who believe in him are going to heaven. Everybody else is going to hell. Oh, what's the name of this God he serves? Jesus. I never heard of him. But you mean to tell me that if he would just denounce this God, he could go free? Yeah. Well, so what's so great about this Jesus that he's worth sitting in prison for? And they would have to think. And now not only are believers witnessing, non-believers are witnessing. Why is that guy in jail? Well, he believes in this God. Well, what's that God believe? What's his name? Jesus. The whole prison guard was abuzz. Paul must have been a special fellow, don't you think? Amen. He stood out even in prison, that everybody would notice him. And remember, even when he was on the ship before it got shipwrecked, he was in consultation with the pilot and the captain of the ship, as well as the centurion that was getting. The other centurions wanted to kill the prisoners, but because his centurion valued Paul, he kept them all alive. Paul seemed to float to the top wherever he was. Even as a prisoner, he was somewhat more in charge than the warden himself. He carried himself with what we call faith. I don't know that Paul ever really considered himself the prisoner. I think maybe he felt like this whole guard thing were his prisoners. They were chained to him. He was not chained to them. They were in his cell block. He wasn't in their cell block. He wasn't on trial. He was witnessing to everybody that they filled that courtroom with. He didn't have to worry about church attendance. They were consigned to be there. And they were the officials, the high officials of the government. He went to preach before Caesar himself. He says, so this has turned out for the, this is, I couldn't have dreamed this up. I couldn't have figured this out for myself. I could have had a fancy chariot and ridden into Rome and wanted to see the emperor, and he'd say, go butt a stump.
But now he has to listen to me because I've come up through the appeals process. And because I've been accused, he has to listen. Ha! It's brilliant. Don't like it, but it's brilliant. It's not comfortable, but it's brilliant. Our God knows what he's doing. Now, here's a little bit of bad news. It's not about us. It's about him. And when we dedicate our lives to him, he takes that seriously. And we say, I am yours. I am yours. All that I am yours. And he says, okay, we can do something with this. And we say, what? Not that. How many times have you talked to somebody and they said, Lord, I'll do anything, I'll go anywhere, but don't ask me to do that. And what is it they end up doing? And what is it they end up loving more than anything else they ever thought possible? God has a tremendous sense of humor and a wonderful sense of humanity, that he can turn us inside out and upside down in our dreams and come up with a life that we could have never dreamt possible. As long as we're holding on to our, I want to this and I want to that, and I want to make sure this and I want to make sure that, we're kind of holding off the kingdom of God. But when we finally let go and say, okay, God, whatever you will, I'm in for it. Suddenly we begin to live a new kind of life. It begins to come together. It begins to glorify God. And we find joy in the oddest places. At the most difficult of times, we find a fellowship with God we never thought possible. We keep dreaming of a cushier life, of an easier way of living. And when that does happen for a season, when we have that for a little bit, we drift away from God. But as it gets hotter, as it gets more pressured, as we cry out to God in the middle of the night, as we see these answers come in the morning, it gives us a confidence. It gives us a joy. It helps us to know life is something other than ever we thought it was. And it becomes also special. So the whole palace guard knows why I'm in prison. But also it has inspired believers to preach the gospel more boldly. How's that? Well, two reasons. First of all, some were inspired by Paul's bravery. Bravery begets bravery. You saw it happen in the Ukraine. Zelensky, they said, we'll send a plane and get you out of there. He said, I don't need a ride. I need weapons. And all of a sudden, housewives are standing up with AK-47s and they're ready to fight for their neighborhood. Bravery begets bravery. And they said, well, if Paul can do it, we can too. We're ready to say. I think one of our problems in America is we haven't had any persecution. We were afraid of persecution. But when we see some brave souls step forward and preach the truth and speak the truth and stand for the truth, regardless of what happens to them, maybe they lose their political office. Maybe they go to jail. But the truth is more valuable than their own life. That inspires the rest of the family of God. And they say, you're not going to suffer alone. We're in this too. But then there was others who just wanted to outdo Paul. Aha, he's in prison. We're going to build more churches. We're going to do this. We're going to win more souls. He's in jail. He didn't pass go. He can't collect $200. He's in there for three rolls of the dice. And so we get to travel while he can't. We're going to do the same. Paul said, I don't care what their attitude is. As long as Christ is being preached, that's all I care about. And that results in good. On to verse 18. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. You're in prison, Paul. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Wait, Paul, back up here. Your deliverance, but you could die. Yeah, that's right. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. When we think about his circumstances, he's sitting in a prison, he's awaiting trial, this could cost him his life. Most people would be rather concerned about that. It could be a downer. It could discourage them quite a bit. But what Paul said about his circumstances resulting in good things was true. It was true. But how many would be tempted to be discouraged anyway? I trust in God, but I don't feel so good today. I trust the Lord, but it's kind of a blue, gray sky for me. You see, Paul had to choose to be content. He had to work at being thankful. He had to look for the silver lining, then magnify it. Was that little amount of silver worth all those large, dark, heavy thunderclouds? Yeah. Yeah, it was valuable silver. There couldn't be won any other way. And you have to take that by faith. He hadn't been delivered yet. His trial wasn't over yet, but he had faith. Faith after the fact isn't faith. It's while we're in the middle of the trial that is refined and it's most valuable to us. If you can smile when everybody else is crying tears for you, if you can get excited about what God must be up to when nobody else can see it, that's faith being refined through that fire, through that thunderstorm. And there are a lot of different kinds of chains, aren't there? Grief, loneliness, pain, jail, illness, debt, unemployment, bad reputation, whether that's earned or unjust, anxiety, depression. If you find yourself in any one of those, you can by faith trust that God is working good even as you're in the middle of your suffering. This hurts, don't want to be here, doesn't feel right. I hate it. But I trust you, God. Because you're the kind of God that doesn't waste pain. And if I have to suffer for now, there's a good reason for it. And there will be recompense from God himself. If you find yourself in one of those clouds, by faith, trust that God is working out good on your behalf. He still creates out of dust and ashes. You see, Paul had come to a win-win mentality. To live as Christ, to die as gain. If they exonerate me, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to plant another church. If they kill me, woohoo! I'll never have pain again. There'll be no more jail cell. There'll be no more. I'm going home to a reward. Win, win. Well, what's going to happen? You know, do you know any people that are lose-lose? You know, what about? Well, no, that's right. Doesn't matter at all. No. Win-win. The Lord has been schooling me in this over the last several years and teaching me how to take things in a win-win. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but I'm getting older. And I've been running now for 30 couple years. I've been running in the mornings. And I am now running shorter distances, and it's taking me longer than it used to run the longer distances. And the Lord showed me that's a win-win. I don't have to go as far to get as much exercise in. I'm actually exercising longer now than I used to, and at my age, it's a win-win. It's a win-win. My van gave up the ghost, and so I got to drive my Mustang more. Then we got another car. Now I get to keep the miles off my Mustang. It's a win-win. No matter what you're going through, there's a win in this thing. It's one way or the other. But God is always up to something good. Amen? He always has and he always will be. You've been through the saga with me about our beloved Callie passing away a couple months ago. Oh, we mourned the loss of our little, you know, we're those strange old people that treat their dog like a baby and all that kind of stuff. I always hated those kind of people when I was younger, but now I see the wisdom in that kind of living. And we really didn't want to start out with a puppy because puppies chew everything and you got to train them for everything. But you know, I am seeing the delight in a puppy, and I'm glad we didn't miss this puppy stage. The other night, Barb and I were sitting there, and the puppy pounced on something, and the both of us just bust out laughing. You can't pay for this stuff. You know, it's just the delight of God, that how he's got it worked out. He's got it figured out. We're afraid of it. We don't think we can handle it. We don't this, we don't that. We're dumb. We're a bunch of idiots, as it were. But oh, we serve a wise, wise counselor and friend. Finally, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Note that Paul does not wish for them an easy life, but a fruitful one. Paul does not wish for them an easy life, but a fruitful one. Can I say that one more time? God does not wish for you an easy life, but a fruitful one. He wants you to bear good fruit. What Paul said about his circumstances is not what we would think. But I believe he matured to the point where he believed what he was saying. God knows what he's doing. Paul doesn't try to shield them from the harshness of what could happen. He realizes that every soul that he wins into the kingdom could end up in a prison cell just like him. He realizes that every soul he wins into the kingdom could end up with a death sentence. But he preaches on why. Because what he preaches is real and it's true. To live is Christ and to die is gain. There's nothing worse than Christians who happen to be going through an extended season of ease, looking down on believers who are suffering as they're going through a season of difficulty. Chains often position us to minister to people we otherwise wouldn't ever have met. My wife has a whole ministry to people who are suffering from chronic pain. She wouldn't have that ministry if she didn't have chronic pain. You may have been gone through treatments for cancer and found yourself in a clinic you'd have never been at if you didn't have to have treatments yourself, and got connected to people who needed encouragement more than anybody else you ever met. People who needed to hear about Jesus at a very critical time in their life. God is always positioning, always positioning, always positioning his own. Oh, I need somebody in a cancer treatment center. Oh, couldn't you make me a nurse? No, I need somebody who really understands. Okay. I need somebody in school. I need somebody at work. I need somebody in this neighborhood. I need somebody in government. Whatever happens, don't get lost in your clouds. Look for those silver linings. Would you stand with me this morning? Let it be Jesus.